Thank you.
The representative of Canada.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As indicated before, we will do our very best to provide our detailed comments in a timely manner. At this point in time, I'll just offer some general view on the paragraphs in the preamble, but some of this view applies elsewhere in the outcome document. But first, I want to convey like our most sincere desire for this Rio conference to be a true success that will result in re-energizing efforts of all towards progress and sustainable development. And for Canada, what will make this success possible is if everyone, the general public, can understand what the outcome document will say, and if it is a document that people will want to read. As I arrived here this afternoon, I noticed this card that was on the table. Other delegations likely have it. It's Rio Plus 20, the future we want, what future do you want? And I noticed in this that it talks about tweet. And I have the young children that tweet, and I understand that when you tweet, you can't have anything that is more than something like 140 characters. And I look at some of the paragraphs that we have, and you have to catch your breath to finish the sentence. This would never make it into how the world is communicating now. And perhaps we may want to reflect on that when we extend the text. So for us, like the way we're going right now in making our sentences really long would not match the criteria that will make this document want to be read by the new generation for sure. And while we recognize the importance of many of the past commitments that we have made, listing them all will likely not resonate with those that do not directly work within the UN system. We may know what the Monterey Declaration is, what the Bali Strategic Plan is, but a lot of people that do not directly work in the UN system do not know that. Perhaps we can be creative and find a way to reinforce our past commitments without listing them all. We also should remember that when we list many, we may forget some important ones, and then other people may think it was we wanted to omit that one when in fact we just forgot about it. And perhaps we may want to also extend this creativity for the paragraphs that deal with other lists in this document. So again, we reiterate our view for a short, focused, political document that unifies. And again, this card on the reverse, it says that this is a historic opportunity to agree on a range of smart measures. So if we want to agree on a range of smart measures, maybe we should also try to avoid divisive issues. In one of the paragraphs in the preamble, some of the suggested text addresses the Rio principles. And many of the colleagues have very eloquently spoken of the important issues that are addressed by all the Rio principles and the fact that it is when they are taken together that they provide a comprehensive guidance that can help us achieve sustainable development. And before we support the point that was made on this, and as such, we would not favor singling out any particular principle. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, representative of Algeria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will try to make an explanation of our amendments within this first section, and at the same time try to answer some of the lot of questions that have been addressed to G77. And we would like also to ask some clarification from partners on some of the language that we have there. First of all, for us, what we are doing here is I don't know how people will read what we are going to do, but what is important for us is what we are going to do. This is the most important thing. We need action-oriented document. We need to achieve things after June. This is our concern within G77. We are proposing, we said in our statement that this document lacks vision, lacks balance, lacks action-oriented. We are bringing that. We said that we accept it, but we bring all of these issues here. This is what we would like to achieve. Now, how people will read this, this is not the, the main concern. Now, on the language. If you take a look at what have been provided by D77, we more or less agreed on the elements you provided us in that section, the elements provided by the co-chairs. We worked on language, and we provided one small one paragraph which tackles with the approach that we would like to give to this outcome document. I will start with the paragraph one. In the paragraph one, the G77 was happy with the first part provided by the co-chairs. In June in Rio, we are going to have our heads of states and governments, and they are going to decide. This is why we agreed with that language. And we do not understand why there are some proposals to delete that part and to replace it by, in my understanding, our heads of states and governments are going to be there. It's an intergovernmental process. They are going to decide on this outcome. This is why we have been happy with your language you provided there. We made small amendments, and I'm happy to hear that some delegations agree with the need to have to renew our commitment to sustainable development. This is the concern of the group, that we need to recommit ourselves to what have been decided by the past. This is why we had this addition here. We have seen some of the elements put there by some delegations. For example, on present and future generations from Switzerland, we have future generations from our side. I don't think that there is really a big difference there. Those are the elements that the G77 brought to this first paragraph. On the second paragraph, we said that it's very important for us. I'm so sorry to say that for developing countries, the eradication of poverty is the priority. It is the priority of priorities. If we as governments are not doing our best to eradicate poverty in our countries, what are we doing? What is our mandate there? This is why we are saying that it's an overriding priority. And you will find lots of language in the whole text dealing with the eradication of poverty, because this is a main concern, major concern of all developing countries. This is why you will find this language here and in lot of other placements. I have noticed that in this paragraph, of course, for example, on the proposal of Kazakhstan, I think that it is covered in the second part of the G77 proposal with practically the same wordings. I think that delegation Kazakhstan can take a look at our language. It covers their concern. I have noticed that the European Union added a long paragraph at the end of paragraph two. And when we read that addition, we see that a lot of elements in that addition are already covered in the paragraph 2bis that have been commented by our dear friend from the EU. From our understanding, in 2 we are addressing the poverty. In 2bis that we proposed, we are addressing the approach, how we see sustainable development and how we see our action in the upcoming years. Here you will see that we are insisting on some elements. First, we are insisting on the integration of the three pillars of sustainable development. I don't think that anyone here is against the integration. Second, we are insisting on the implementation. This is this is the gap, in fact, during the 20 past years. We have good outcomes. Agenda 21 is a very good document. The JPY is a very good document. What lacks, in fact, is the implementation. This is why we are insisting on these two elements, integration and implementation. Of course, the EU asked for clarification on what we mean by agreed mechanisms and actions. As we said, we need to take concrete actions through this document. We do not want to have just declaration repeating what we said by the past. We need to take concrete actions by the United Nations system, by the governments, by local authorities, by all stakeholders, major groups, etc. All of these stakeholders need to contribute through agreed mechanism and actions, and when we will come to the framework for action at the end, the G77 will put very concrete proposals as we put in our submission. But unfortunately, it was not reflected in the draft 0. But we will get back to that appropriately at the appropriate moment. This is the, and I think that this true base gives, in fact, the vision and the approach that we in G77 would like to give to this document. On paragraph three, I have noticed that there were a lot of additions from delegations, while G77 wanted to keep it very straightforward. In fact, we deleted even the last sentence, improving the lives of poorest people. It doesn't mean that we are against that. But for us, the poverty issue is well addressed in paragraph 2, as amended by G77. And in this paragraph, what we would like to address is the international agreed development goals, including the MDGs. And as just one remark on the proposal of, I think it was some delegations proposed to delete development there to keep it broad. I think that here we are dealing with sustainable development. We are not in a disarmament conference or in human rights conference. Or, this is why we are saying development goals. And this language, if you check all the resolutions of the second committee, all the outcomes, you will find it there at least five or six times in each resolution, the same language. This is why we are not addressing that at all, and we accepted the language provided by the co-chairs. In paragraph four, we addressed there the issue of the cooperation, and our addition is international cooperation. The coherence is not our addition. I don't say that we are against that. We are going to look at it. But it was the addition from, if I'm not wrong, and I apologize, from Switzerland. I think that Switzerland made that addition, not G77. For us, we added the international, because we are in an international arena. We are discussing about cooperation between nations. We added this international to the text. On, of course, emerging persistent, we do believe that what we are talking about now are more or less persistent challenges. They are the same challenges we had 20 years ago and we couldn't address. This is why we are meeting now to renew our commitment, to see how we can address them. This is why we presented that amendment. Yes, we had this addition of four bits. For this, I think that even the EU addressed that somewhere on the issue of mainstreaming sustainable development. The G77 in this paragraph brought the language provided by the co-chairs, which was put in paragraph 14 in the first draft. In that paragraph, you will find three ideas. You will find the idea of protecting ecosystems, the idea of mainstreaming sustainable development, and the idea of SCP. In the group, we thought that there were three different ideas that need to be addressed in separately, and mainstreaming sustainable development needs to be addressed at this stage of the document, because we believe that it's really an important issue to be addressed. Yeah, it's for quite, in fact. I'm so sorry. In our document, it is for this, but it is... Okay. What else? I have also noticed here proposal from the European Union, and I would like to throw you, Mr. Chair, to ask them for clarification. It's the tutor that deals with the Charter of the United Nations and international law. In fact, when we dealt with this paragraph within G77, it is the first paragraph in the second section. We did not made a lot of amendments on that. We were happy with the language provided by the co-chairs and even the placement, because there we are reaffirming the principle and past action plans and everything. And I think that the Charter of the United Nations and the international law should be reaffirmed as the first thing. This is why we kept it there. But I see that the EU proposes to bring it to the first section. We probably need to have more clarification on the rationale behind that. And I have also another question. There is an addition there from the European Union, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Yeah, we are not against the Declaration of Human Rights, but just why to single this only document within the context of sustainable development. We do have a lot of documents that can be addressed. I think that the language provided by the co-chairs covers all of these issues, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We will consider that, but if our dear friends from EU can provide us with the rationale, it will help the group decide on that. My last comment is on paragraph 5. Yes, on paragraph 5, we do believe in the group that we are going to address all the issues in the appropriate sections. The green economy in the context of the eradication of poverty and sustainable development, the IFSD, and when we will come to that, to those sections, we are going to deal with language and see how we can reflect all the concerns. But at this stage, what we want to do is just repeat the agreed language from the resolution 64-36, which addresses first the objectives of the conference and the need to renew, to assess and to renew the commitment, and second, address the two themes of the conference, namely the green economy in the context of sustainable development and the eradication of poverty and the IFSD. This is why we provided this simple language which addresses the objectives of the conference and the two themes. I have noticed also that here we have the 5 Bs of EU. We recognize that the cost of inaction for far outweighs the cost of action. Yeah, generally the idea is good, but I just wanted to ask on the added value of this paragraph in order to help the group consider this paragraph at the appropriate time. On the other language that was proposed by several other delegations, I think that we definitely need time to consider them appropriately within G77, and we will try to be constructive on them. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Algeria. Your view and comment is very valuable. It sounds to me more or less the two groups' opinion on the other are that the other group's opinion and views are reflected in some way in some other parts, and it is sometimes duplicated. And I agree both of you. And the enormous task before us is that can we be sharply action-oriented and concise at the same time? That is my impression hearing out the European Union and the Group of 77. Now I give the floor to the representative of Switzerland.
Thank you, Mr. Kürter. Following your guidance, I will try to make some general comments on this section and some specific ones also, and also to respond to some of the questions that have been proposed to the amendments that we have brought to the text. To start with a general comment, I'd like to echo what has been said, I think, by the representative of New Zealand at the beginning, that there now is much more repetition in the text than we had in the first version, of course. At the same time, I think what we've seen is that many similar ideas have actually come in through the proposed amendments, and probably there is quite a bit of potential to streamline that. The important thing will be to reflect these new ideas that have come in some way in the text, but we probably don't have to do it several times, most importantly is that the ideas are captured. So we agree with in general the potential of streamlining, of course, in this new version that we have in front of us. Regarding the first paragraph, there was the question posed to us with our proposed amendments regarding ministers and other leaders, including representatives of civil society, business and academia. The main idea behind the language that we've proposed is to underline the inclusiveness of the process. That's what we were striving at. But we recognize, of course, the issue raised by the European Union that there might be an issue about this being an intergovernmental process and those other leaders not being able to sort of commit in a legal way or endorse the text as we are able as governments. But the idea behind it is to really underline this kind of inclusiveness and maybe we'll think about some wording, how we can reflect that, that takes that into account and also takes the legal aspect into account. With regard to these new qualifications that have been proposed by different groups and delegations, the list is getting longer, of course, but we're looking favorably at most of the things that have been proposed. We think that they are useful additions. One small question is with regard to the terminology of a happy future. Not that we're against it, as others have said on other parts, but the question is how, is it clearly enough defined in order to be useful in this context? I guess that would be our question. And also a question with regard to the addition by the European Union, our societies, in the last or second last line. Here also the question, is it an added value to, given that we've also already talked about that it's meant for our people or for all people and for our planet? So this is just a question for further clarification. The next question that I'd like to address is the issue of prosperity in paragraph 2, a language that we've introduced. The question was posed to us by the European Union, what we were aiming at with this. I think it was basically to replace the wording of growth there, in the sense that we might have to look a step beyond growth and see what we're really aiming at. And the idea was that it is better captured by the issue of prosperity than just growth. But we've seen also alternatives. I think it was the European Union themselves who have proposed as an alternative development opportunities, or development that provides opportunities for all. This might be another way of expressing quite a similar thought of what we had actually wanted to say. Also a little bit the same concern in this regard as expressed by the European Union with regard to the amendment proposed by G77 to reaffirm poverty eradication here in this context as an overriding priority, because we think what we're here talking about is sustainable development, and it's balancing the different aspects, and obviously poverty eradication is a very central part of that mixture that we need to arrive at when we want to have a sustainable future. But to impose one priority over the others is probably not the right way to go in this context. With regard to paragraph 2bis, the integrated approach is an important aspect. So we're looking favorably at this language that is being proposed. But like others, we have some questions to the language introduced in the second part of that paragraph 2bis. With this, as others have pointed to, what is meant by mutually reinforcing and structured measures. And it seems that some of the things that are mentioned take already address some issues that we're going to address in the institutional frameworks chapter, and should probably also be best dealt with there. It seems that we're sort of trying to address already an issue that we have a whole chapter later on to address, but maybe we haven't understood it correctly yet. I won't make comments on all the paragraphs. Yeah, just to echo also another comment by the European Union in paragraph 4, we also think it's important to keep the concept of preserving and protecting the ecosystems, or as it was introduced as an alternative text by the European Union, preserve, protect and restore. The concept of using the ecosystems in a sustainable manner is maybe only one part of it, but the protection and restoration is the other dimension that we need to capture in the text. So I think I'll leave it at this for the time being. Thank you, Mr. Kocher.
Thank you.
Six?
Yeah. I have six speakers on my list, and just for the purpose of in the interest of time, Okay, just added Algeria. In the interest of time, at this point, I will close down the list, and after the exhaustion of seven speakers, we will move to the next part of our discussion. Now I give the floor to the representative of the Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. My delegation is not ready to provide a detailed reaction to the amendment proposals at this moment. But as a general comment, certainly I would like to add my voice to the statement made by the New Zealand and Switzerland, stressing the importance of making this introductory part as simple as possible and as short as possible. And also, at least for interactive discussion, let me try to provide some clarification about our language proposal, on which the European Union posed some questions. The language of the rights of the future generation has been introduced to stress the need for intergenerational sustainability of our planet. But we propose this language proposal without knowing the other party's proposal when we initially proposed this language. But as we close the submission, there have been a lot of constructive suggestions. Certainly, we can go align with other suggestions, because some suggestions concrete more concrete languages. In this regard, we are open for further discussion. And the having said that, you know, based on this experience, I think the G77 proposed to have some sort of informal consultation between the intersessional period. Maybe it might not be possible to have an extensive negotiation on the language of the amendment, but I think we can use these informal proposals to clean our amendment proposals, because a lot of languages are duplicative, basically because, you know, these political groups or member states proposed amendment proposal without knowing the other party's proposal. So I think they, in order to enhance our effectiveness of the negotiation process, probably we can utilize this intersessional period for cleaning our own amendment proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Japan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to echo the other delegations, especially the distinguished representative of Canada. Reference to the past declarations and principles may be important in the usual formulation of a declaration of an international conference. However, a declaration is a message sent from political leaders to the people, even though we, the bureaucrats and diplomats, have to endeavor to produce the draft. I believe that such kind of message belongs to the political belongs to the domain of the political leaders. So therefore, I would like to stress that the repetition of the language should be avoided, and that reference to the past declarations and principles should be avoided. The message should be short and clear. Thank you.
Thank you, the representative of European Union.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through you, many thanks to colleagues and partners who have provided explanations and responses to some of our questions. Since I know that a colleague from Algeria has asked for the floor, may I reiterate a question to him, because he gave an explanation on the rationale for the G77 proposal in 2bis. I have to say that there is, I could concur with the rationale he has given for his proposal, but I don't see his proposal, his rationale reflected in the actual textual proposal by the G77, because what he was talking about was actually a call for immediate action and a call for specific and concrete measures to be adopted by the Rio Conference in June of this year. Now, the language that G77 has proposed is actually much more indirect and actually does not talk about things to be adopted at the conference, but talks about an unspecified mechanism that is where there is an urgency in committing to something. So I think there is a question of whether the G77 could actually make this proposal more explicit to express exactly the sentiment he included in his statement. And I think then we'd certainly be in a better position to judge whether this language is something that we wish to entertain. He also asked a question on, and some others, on paragraphs 2 ter, 2 quad, 2 quint that we had suggested to add after paragraph 2 and 2 bis. And I think that for us it was very important to lift up things that are of a fundamental nature and frame in a fundamental way the outcome of our conference. And certainly the Charter of United Nations, International Law and Principle, Declaration of Human Rights in the first place, the freedom, peace and security, rule of law, gender equality and the rest of it, and good governance and the rule of law are very much framing principles for what we're doing. There's not something that we actually inject directly into the outcome of this conference, because we are dealing with the main themes of institutional framework for sustainable development, green economy. But on the other hand, we need to bear them in mind when we look towards the outcome, and that we felt it needed to be in a section which actually sets the stage or express the vision of the conference. And therefore, they are in the right place here and not in the later parts of the text, and certainly, in our view, not part of section 2, which is about renewing political commitment, because this is not the political commitment we actually renew, because that is a political commitment that comes from the very source of the organization, in the context of which we're having these negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you. The representative of the Holy See.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My delegation was relatively comfortable with this section of the draft text. For this reason, we didn't make any concrete proposals in it. Certainly, we, like others, haven't had the opportunity to study carefully all the proposals which have been made thus far, however constructive many of them, in fact, are. At the same time, however, my delegation would like to make a couple comments at this point. First, my delegation certainly recognizes the three pillars of sustainable development. However, it goes without saying that poverty eradication should be a key element contained within it. The first principle of the Rio Declaration makes clear that human beings are at the center of concern for sustainable development. Not should be, but are. And the third principle clearly states that the right to development must be fulfilled so as to equitably meet developmental and environmental needs of present and future generations. So it goes without saying that these two are essential elements which should form the basis of what we're doing at this point and for the future. Given the reality of the situation at the present time, including the ongoing financial and economic crisis from which the world has not yet recovered, it goes without saying that poverty eradication must be given an important place in the outcome document for Rio. In this regard, my delegation looks favorably upon the proposals of the G77, in particular in paragraphs 2 and 4, regarding the promotion of human dignity and poverty eradication. Also, second, while the language put forward by the Russian delegation for paragraph 5 regarding ethics may well be new language, my delegation believes that it's extremely important to emphasize the importance of respecting the values common to humanity. While that language that they have proposed may not be previous language from other texts, I'm not quite sure if it is. It seems to be new language. Nonetheless, ethics plays an indispensable role, in our estimation, in formulating public policy for the well-being of this generation and future generations. And so we look favorably upon that proposal as well. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you, the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I might have said earlier that we really want an outcome document with impact. And my Canadian colleague said something that really struck me. She said a document which unifies. And I think that's equally important to us. That's very important. And with that in mind, we do feel it's really important to speak to the peoples of the world, to speak particularly to the youth of the next generation for whom this matters, these subjects matter greatly. Speaking particularly to the text, I want to say something about paragraph one in general. We do have, as I said yesterday, an interest in ensuring that all member states are part of this outcome while encouraging, of course, the highest level engagement. So there will be some flexibility there moving forward, but we want to make sure it's inclusive for the reasons I said yesterday. Everybody needs to be a part of this outcome document. I also share the EU concerns expressed about the Swiss edition, and I appreciate Switzerland's explanation as well as their idea of inclusivity, so I look forward to seeing their additional suggestions on that. On the subject of principles, we agree as well that all of the Rio principles are equally important, and we have a preference for not singling any of those out. As well, as a number have said, we have an interest in streamlining the number of items that we're recalling and reaffirming in this document. That's not necessarily an item that motivates or inspires the audience that we're seeking to motivate and inspire, and so we'd really appreciate if we could streamline those to the extent possible. As some others have noted, lists often leave out important concepts or overemphasize others, so they're not the most useful approach. Speaking to some of the suggestions on paragraph four, we believe that rights-based language on approaches that don't enjoy agreement on rights-based approaches may not be the most constructive for this document. We have other fora for those issues, and so I think we'll have some concerns about those paragraphs as well. And then I have just one question for the European Union on its proposed paragraph 5bis. I think I appreciate the point that the European Union is trying to make, but I don't see that it adds additional value in the context of the rest of the document. So I'd appreciate an additional explanation. And further, it's a little bit unclear. The cost of inaction on what, obviously we all agree that action is important. We're all here, we're all at the table, we're all discussing. I think we've all agreed that this is a priority issue, this issue of sustainable development in a balanced and comprehensive way. So I'd appreciate understanding a little better what the intent is there. And otherwise, as I noted earlier, we'll need to study carefully a number of the remaining proposals and come back at those at a later stage as we're not prepared to speak to those at this moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The representative of Liechtenstein.
Thank you, Chair. Like other delegations, I'm not in a position to provide comments, even of a general nature, to all the amendments that have been put forward. I'm just taking the floor briefly to address some of the comments that have been made with regard to our proposed paragraphs 4bis and TER. The distinguished delegate from New Zealand had suggested that only action-oriented language we placed in the first part that lays out the vision of the document. I have to say I tend to agree in this respect with the distinguished colleague from the EU that the elements that we've put forward in those paragraphs are very essential stage setting elements for the rest of the text, and we believe that in as far as they set also kind of the normative framework of the text to follow, this should be placed accordingly with a high priority. And we note that the EU has proposed as well elements that we've been putting forward and placed them already as paragraph to quote. In this regard, I'd like to reiterate what I said yesterday already. We proposed agreed language here, but we are, of course, flexible to work on it if it can be streamlined and if other delegations feel the usefulness of streamlining in this regard. Therefore, I completely share the view of my distinguished EU colleague that having both references of the EU paragraph and ours would overburden the text. Therefore, of course, we're open to work on the text as long as we do not go below the standards that have been agreed only recently in the case of the paragraph 4 bis. And the same does apply for the paragraph that we've been putting forward on the rights to development. We're ready to work on the text as long as we preserve the standards that we've reached in previous agreements. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative of Algeria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be brief this time. Let me first thank the Secretariat for the good job they are doing and the lady there. But please, I have noticed that somewhere you put on singling out one principle, Canada, G77, and the United States. Yeah, we do like our dear friends from Canada and US, but we didn't express that views. And since I have the opportunity to address that, let me explain what is the view within G77. We support all the new principles. We like them, in fact, all of them, without distinction. And this is why we proposed in the second section one paragraph reiterating our support to the new principles. But in some contexts, we felt the need to address some of those principles. It doesn't mean that we are singling out or excluding. If the partners feel that the other principles need to be addressed in some context, we are open. Please bring them and we will address them appropriately. But since we have some contexts that need really to address some of those principles, I think that we can do it, we can work on the language, but it doesn't mean that we are singling out or we are excluding any of those principles. Two other comments and I'm done. For the first paragraph, I heard someone commenting on happy, the element of happiness there. First of all, I have just to ask our dear friend, the lady from the Secretariat, to switch happy and prosperous. In fact, in our proposal, it was happy, prosperous, and we delete secure. For the happiness, I think that the ultimate objective of all our work, all our efforts, is to achieve well-being and happiness of our populations. This is what we are doing here. And if I remember well, there is one resolution which is dealing with this issue, and which is adopted by consensus and co-sponsored, I think, by all member states or the majority of member states. This is why we think that this element is really important, and I don't think that it will harm anyone to have it there. On the 2Bs, we have heard lot of concerns on the second part where we are talking about reinforcing structural measures, etc. In fact, the idea in this paragraph is that we are putting forward an approach based on the integration and the implementation of the three pillars of sustainable development. But we are looking forward. We are looking how to assess what we are going to achieve in the upcoming years. This is why we need actions and measures to be taken. Of course, that we are ready to work on the language, but this is the idea behind this proposal to BIS, that we need some actions and measures in order to assess what have been achieved by the UN system, by member states, by major groups and other stakeholders in terms of the integration and the implementation of the sustainable development. Those are my comments at this stage. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The representative of Mexico.
Mexico.
Thank you, Chair. Since
Most of the views have already been expressed. I will do my best to be very brief. And first, as most of my colleagues, we haven't had the chance to react and to check our signals regarding all the proposals here, but we can already start addressing and commenting some of the issues that are in front of us. First of all, we think that all of the proposals that have been made are extremely constructive, and in a sense they build to a text that increases the level of ambitiousness and as well as speaks to a wider audience than the one limited exclusively to the negotiating rooms of the UN. So we're happy at that, and we think that that's the main purpose, and it has to be a collective effort as well. Our first comment regarding paragraph one in this regard, yes, we are agreeable to many of the proposals, especially the ones that have been put forward either by Switzerland or the European Union, in the sense that indeed, this document has to be subject of appropriation not only of heads of state and governments. They have to be mentioned, heads of state and governments, the ones subscribing it, but they are doing it as well on behalf of their society. So somehow we will have to include as well all those components of society, civil society, businesses, academia, other representatives of the people of the world. Indeed, they are represented by their heads of state and government. So I think that they are complementary rather than exclusive. We fully concur with the proposal made by the G77 on paragraph one as well, that we're here to renew our commitment.